Hey there, this is part one of a three-part series in partnership with Old Mutual and the Singularity U South Africa Summit. I'm Mike Stopforth and this is The One-Eyed Man, a show where I talk to talented people doing meaningful work at the intersection of leadership, technology and impact. Thanks to those of you who are return listeners, and of course if you're here for the first time, a very big welcome to you. My guest today is Vuyo Mpako. Vuyo is currently the Managing Director of Next 176, which is a subsidiary of Old Mutual Limited. Next 176 leads innovation, partnerships, strategic investments, and venture building across the continent for the Old Mutual Group. Despite being a relatively young entrant in the VC ecosystem, they already have success stories in Kina Health and JobJack. In this episode, Vuyo and I discuss those businesses and the success of those partnerships, as well as Next 176's investment and growth philosophies. It's hard to imagine anyone more passionate about the topic than Vuyo, and I hope you enjoy the conversation we had as much as I enjoyed being a part of it. All right, on with the show. I wondered, sir, if we could begin with a very quick introduction to And you're going to have to help me with the correct pronunciation here. Is it Next 176 or is it Next 176?
Oh, the former is perfect.
Okay, great. So tell us a little bit about Next 176. You're the MD of this, I guess it's an Old Mutual subsidiary, and you are all about investing in high potential startups that can change the world.
Yeah, absolutely. Mark, firstly, thank you so very much for having me on the show today. It's an absolute pleasure. Been listening to some of your podcasts for a while now, so it's great to be here as well.
Great to have you.
I think to kind of get to the name, there's a story behind the name, the people who came up with the name. I've been in corporate world for just over 25 years or so, kind of multiple different roles, starting off as a young engineer in telecoms, got into financial services at Standard Bank around late 2000s in roles that were digital before they were called, before digital, kind of existed in financial services.
The IT days, yeah.
You know, ran self-service channels, and then there was a small team that wanted to run the website, and then there was internet banking, and then there was, you know, should we not do banking on USSD? So we introduced that 2009, 2010, got into payments and payments innovation as part of the Standard Bank world. Transitioned to Old Mutual in 2017 as Chief Digital and Data Officer. And one of the things that I'd learned at Standard was the opportunity and the potential of kind of leveraging these digital technologies to not only digitalize your core business, which is most of what we talk about in digital transformation, but also to really think about how you could conceive new businesses, how you could conceive new digital-first businesses. And so the opportunity at Old Mutual was Chief Digital Officer and Data Officer, which for the first 2, 3, 4 years was actually help us just transform our existing, you know, how we talk to clients, how we engage clients, advisors, staff, et cetera, et cetera.
Sure.
But there was always the conversation about, hey, there is something that we're missing in this arsenal. There is something around how do we think about new business models? How do we think about growth? When Old Mutual had turned 176 years in 2021, the new CEO then, Ian Williamson, who had prior to that been COO, asked me if, you know, I could come lead what he called then innovation at the edge, which was new growth and innovation, strategy, partnerships, and this innovation at the edge. And the whole thinking was the business of today, which was 176 years old then, was doing fairly okay-ish. You know, some years are better than others, but on average, we're doing fairly well. But what is the business going to look like in another 5, 10, 15 years? So Next 176 came from that question of, let's build up this unit that helps us figure out what the next 176 years for Old Mutual is going to look like.
Great story. So I just want to quickly interject there. One of my favorite books on the topic of digital transformation is Digital Darwinism, written by Tom Goodwin. And he talks about this thought experiment. And the thought experiment is, what would our company look like if we built it today? It's an exercise in departure from the assumptions we make about what has worked in the past and how well those things will work for us in the future. So it sounds like that sort of philosophy is underpinning many of the decisions you make. But it also sounds to me, from reading up on what Next 176 does, is that you are interested in developing opportunities well beyond the fintech space. You're exploring several high growth, high potential startups. Maybe if you could give us a sense of what is the scope of your influence and your decision making, and how do you kind of explain the work that you do to those who are discovering it for the first time?
That's a very good question, Mike. And I think kind of following on the story of how we set up Next 176, I think we already have been having conversations in the group around what customers are likely to do in the future. But we said, actually, why don't we understand what they're doing right now? Not sure. Only from a financial services perspective. Let's just look at what consumers are spending money on today. Mm-hmm. Consumers are spending money on health. Consumers are spending money on taking their kids to school and figuring out, you know, the new age of work. Not everyone is employed by Old Mutual, going into the future. You know, people are doing side gigs. So the world of work is changing. People are still
definitely
really precious about protecting what they have and how do we get out of that. So those were the key themes that came up from the study we did around what consumers are spending money on today, where it is it likely to be in the future. And in those areas where we're still seeing massive growth from a consumer spend perspective, we picked the ones that were juicy for us from two perspectives. The first one was things are not working. And for us, the signal there was if we believe things are not working from a consumer perspective, there is someone who's going to actually try to innovate around that.
Sure.
We don't know who, but there's people trying to solve it. So that was the first one. The second question we told ourselves that in the myriad of these massive opportunities that people are going to try to innovate around, which ones of those could a financial services organization like ourselves have a right to win? Have some association and actually could offer a right to win. You know? And so education is a big one, largely because there's consumers. You know, it changes the conversation about what insurance is from insurance kind of, you know, someone walking around with a briefcase, most likely in my age, wearing a gray suit and this briefcase with papers, to say, actually, where are consumers right now? And if we kind of work with them where they are and become part of their ecosystems, we've got an opportunity of embedding a new type of financial services. So that's our thinking. That's our thinking is, hey, healthcare is a big deal. People are spending money on it. Someone is working on a disruptive healthcare play that is actually going to have massive engagement. We want to be part of that. Someone is solving education and solving it, whether it's in early childhood development or all the way up the chain. And if you solve it, you're going to have massive engagement. You're going to have people having a massive sentimental attachment to that ecosystem. We're unlikely to solve it as Old Mutual. In fact, we are never going to be able to solve it as Old Mutual. But we trust that there is an entrepreneur, there is some innovators out there who are going to solve it. Can we partner with them? Can we invest in them? Can we co-build with them? A view of how we're going to embed financial services. So that's kind of, if you ask us what areas we play in and why we play in those areas, those are the five: education, health, jobs, how do we protect my family's income, and how do we help me get out of debt? And why do we work in those? Because we believe we could embed financial services to the extent that there are people actually doing some amazing things in them.
Okay, great. That helps me a lot. And you mentioned the two ways that you do get involved. One is in a more traditional private equity / venture capital type investment model. And maybe we can explore how, I know that you guys have a philosophy around how you want to do that differently. And I'd be interested also to explore how you qualify potential partners. But the other part that's really interesting is you're leveraging this unparalleled distribution and network and intellectual capital and history and credibility that the Old Mutual juggernaut brings to the table to help these entrepreneurs and these partners launch their capability at a scale that would have been very difficult without a partner like yourself. So it's not a traditional investment model where you're putting money in and then you're stepping back and you're not really involved in seeing whether or not that investment is going to blossom. You're very much involved with those partners in as you said, co-creating their success. Could you walk us through, first of all, how your investment model is maybe different to traditional investment models? And then secondly, I'd love to hear a little bit more about how you qualify potential partners.
Perfect. I think very, very well put, Mike. I think the first one is that the world of early stage investing, especially in South Africa, is still nascent. That said, there are people playing in that space. So
sure.
Whilst we do have access to a balance sheet, you know, how a old mutual with, you know, 30 odd thousand employees, you know, in 13 different markets, we've never done early stage investments. And so let's set ourselves up as a quasi fund. We operate as a wholly owned subsidiary of Old Mutual, but we actually got committed capital in the way that Old Mutual as a limited partner would have invested in any other VC fund. But Old Mutual then, when they invest in a VC fund, they don't sit in the investment committee and they don't tell the investment team which one to pick. They agree the broad mandate to say, these are the areas, these are the stages. This is what we think this capital can get you in terms of the number of companies in the portfolio, deployment period of so long, and actually don't have concentration risk of so much to one asset, as you would normally find in any investment memo that you find with any other VC partner that is coming to a limited partner raising capital. So that's right. How we've set ourselves up. And how we deploy that capital, we believe is kind of on par with what the other early stage VC players operate. You know, a full mandate from our investment committee, how we qualify deals, notwithstanding the strategic lens we have, no different. In fact, we want to be a key part of the VC and kind of incubator, accelerator ecosystem. And I think we're kind of building enough of a credibility to be trusted in that ecosystem. So that's super, super important, because that's where the deal flow comes from. That's where your co-investors come from. And so for the ecosystem to also acknowledge us as Next176, albeit part of Old Mutual, that we're not looking for kind of financials and DCFs and all of those things to be able to actually do valuation on the deal. We do use VC models for valuation. We actually run an investment shop that is par with many of the other VCs that you see out in the market. And we're super proud of that. We believe that we have quite a lot of value in the ecosystem because, in a way, you know, we're a little bit more stringent on governance. And it's actually on good governance rather than governance for the sake of it. You know, so we'll spend a little bit more on DDs. We'll spend a little bit more on legal DDs, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. But it's all really quality more than, and we manage the expectations exceptionally well to say, listen, you know, we're starting here. This is how long the process is going to take. So that's important for us, that the reputation is on par with what everyone else is expecting. In fact, we hold ourselves to a standard that's slightly higher because there's also always the kind of halo to our own control. So that's one side.
Got you.
And so it's a small VC shop inside a big corporate, in a way, that operates like another VC shop, but is actually, you know, funded through the corporate. So we haven't, well, when I say we're raising, you know, we're only raising with the group CEO and CFO. We're not raising with 20 other investors. So that's the one side. But in our mandate, there's obviously the strategic lens that we put on. The first one is obviously, you know, the deal has to make sense. It must be on par without any strategic overlay. It must be a great investment on its own. So that even if there's no strategic benefit, the financial returns, you know, are actually great.
Makes sense.
No arm's length basis. And so we'll do all of those, kind of the quality of the team, management, traction, depending on the stage and all of those things of the businesses. So that's one. But also we put on the strategic lens of saying, hey, when we put money into this business, we think that great entrepreneurs, they know healthcare. Great entrepreneurs, they know the education ecosystem. They're great entrepreneurs, they know the jobs ecosystem. We don't expect them to also know financial services, because then that's our superpower. Our superpower is financial services. Our superpower is that a big brand in 13 different markets, listed in four or five on the continent, managing in South Africa assets over a trillion rands, you know, access to over 1,000 institutional clients, 6 million retail clients in South Africa, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. Actually, you know, different licenses from short-term insurance, life insurance, banking as recently, et cetera, et cetera. So we've got skill and actual knowledge that a big part of what we do within our unit is how do we make all of those assets malleable for the ecosystem?
Sure.
They were not built for the ecosystem. So how do we make them malleable for the ecosystem? But also the ecosystem does not know how to work with corporate. So how do we make it vice versa? How do we work with the entrepreneurs on, hey, listen, let's coach you on the conversation you're either going to be having with Old Mutual or any of our institutional partners, any of the telcos, that one way or the other, we may be banking, we may have extended a loan in, we may be an investor, we may have some of our private equity teams sitting on their boards.
Okay.
So how do we lever it? That's really the power of our ecosystem. We believe that that's our superpower.
And you've spoken about some of those elements in terms of how you get involved. And what other ways are you getting involved in those partners? I mean, are you operationally involved, or do you create a little bit of distance there, purely strategic or advisory services? You know, where do you draw the line?
I mean, the stakes we take, generally, we don't go for control straight away for a myriad of reasons. We'd love to double down on the ones that do well. We think we offer an opportunity for kind of M&A in the pipeline, you know. So if someone that this is a business that an Old Mutual could be an exit path into, you know, that's a key part of what we do, which is super, super important in our ecosystem, where you don't have a very mature kind of maybe part private equity, but you know, you're not going to see IPOs. You don't see those big exits, but we think as a strategic investor, we provide that, you know. And so we kind of double down over time. We generally do take board seats and observer seats, but we've got this massive access and ecosystem of our own advisors, people within Old Mutual who are available. We try to be very founder friendly. Yeah, we don't, you know, we don't want to do this thing of kind of cuddling assets to death, which is dangerous. So we like to go at the pace of the founding team and the management. We have 15% in this business. We don't have control. In fact, we don't want it straight away. Yeah. So we leave them to run as they would have. We try to create some separation in terms of, you know, people when we put on the board, they know that their primary responsibility is actually fiduciary responsibility on the business. They're not Old Mutual people. They are sitting here as directors in this business.
Of course.
Primarily, it's what's good for this business. If I can help by connecting you to the ecosystem, that's amazing. So that's our approach. We value and pride ourselves on our ability to be able to connect the companies that we've invested in and others that we even just partnering with into this vast ecosystem. It's still early days, but we are happy with where we are.
Well, that actually brings me to my next point. It is early days and you are still a relatively young entrant in the market. But despite that, you've already got several great case studies that are worth highlighting and talking about. I mean, one of the really exciting ones is Kina Health. The other one that I've done some homework around is JobJack, which is, you know, speaks directly to your interest in job creation and job exploration markets. Maybe you could talk a little bit about those two investments and the successes around them and maybe what you've learned as a partner through those journeys with those two sets of entrepreneurs.
Yeah, Mike, I think one earlier, it's still a fairly newish journey for us. We just turned 3 years old in September this year. We have a portfolio. By the end of the year, we think, you know, if the deals in the pipeline do materialize, we'll probably have a portfolio of around 18 different assets in the portfolio.
Amazing.
So we're proud of that. But that's only step one. Eh? That's actually done the easy part, which is how to deploy capital. The more interesting ones are now coming around how do we help portfolio management as well as value creation, but also how do we help opportunities for exit. On Kenna Health and JobJack specifically, Kenna obviously talks to the health ecosystem. JobJack talks to the jobs ecosystem. A couple of things. When you talk to, you know, the founder and the CEO of Kenna Health, Saul, I've learned so much about the health ecosystem from talking to Saul. I don't know it. We do not know it.
Sure.
And we're very, very comfortable with that.
Sure.
But we trust that, you know, just talking to the founder and actually doing our own research on the market and that ecosystem, that we backed the right founder.
Yeah, yeah.
Experienced, knows the ecosystem very, very, very well, has walked the streets, has been to probably most of the clinics, the public clinics in South Africa, understands the structural issues around healthcare in South Africa, and has actually built an amazing team, good traction from a product perspective, a business that we are happy on arm's length without any strategic benefit to be able to say, actually, we could put our money in it and actually we could help with the founding team and management to grow this business. And even if there's no strategic benefit, we could all have a great exit.
Well, full disclosure, I had a little bit to do with Saul and his team years ago, actually, from an advisory perspective. And I couldn't agree with you more. You talk about people that are not just capable of solving problems at scale, but are deeply interested in the impact of their solutions. And when you find people that can be that effective at the intersection of leadership and technology and impact, that's a really exciting space to be playing in. So I'm super excited to hear that you'll be working with them. Maybe we can talk about JobJack as well. That also sounds incredible.
Very, very similar storyline in that the story of the founding team in Christian and Hein, you know, and their journey on kind of ending up after finishing their articles as chartered accountants, ending up kind of trying to do a small gig for a few of their friends and realizing that actually there's a business here.
Yeah.
Firstly, there's a problem. There's a big, big problem in South Africa in that many of the people who finish tertiary school don't get jobs, and actually they struggle to even look for jobs because it is expensive. It is expensive for them to go out and find internet cafes, try to do their CVs and all those things. So if you're right at the bottom, you have to make a choice between am I going to use the last couple of friends that I have to put a meal on my plate today, or am I going to use it to actually find a job? And they choose the former. That's the sad reality that we've learned about the state of jobs in South Africa from the founding team.
The established job market really take for granted, right? It's things that those of us that are in privileged positions of having had a career and being employed for some time, we don't even think about. That reality is not a part of our consideration at all.
So you and me, Mike, today, when we don't like what we're doing, we go to LinkedIn, we click that button that says open to work, correct?
Sure, sure.
Everyone else does not have that privilege.
Yeah, 100%.
That's a reality, yeah? Tomorrow, if, you know, something doesn't go well, the boss is here, think that they don't like me anymore. Tomorrow I'm on LinkedIn, open for work. That's it.
Yeah.
You know, so these are the structural issues that relate to kind of finding jobs in South Africa too, that the founding team were really, really passionate about solving.
Mm. Mm.
And of course, you know, if you do it and you do it successfully, actually you could build a sustainable business out of this.
100%.
Short space of time, 3 odd million people who've come onto the platform. It's an easy-to-use platform, all based on WhatsApp, which is today the lowest common denominator. Everyone is on WhatsApp. So why don't you 100%. Take LinkedIn as a business model and actually make it accessible to the mass market in South Africa and hopefully right across the continent? Mm-hmm. Why don't you use that and say, actually, it's on WhatsApp. If I've gone in and I've updated I've kind of logged my profile on there, you know, when there's 2 or 3 other opportunities that come up that might not necessarily have been a PEP or a KFC and Old Mutual employing, but actually I've done my psychometrics already on the platform. Hey, I'm actually available for those opportunities as well. And one of the things that has been absolutely fascinating seeing many of these to your question, Mike, on some of the key learnings. And this is a learning that I think I'm using in our own business as well. I still believe that we're a startup. I'd like us to operate like a startup as well within a big mm-hmm. corporate. Is you can clearly see that all of these super amazing kind of potential founding teams have great advisors around them.
Correct.
Yeah. So when you talk to the management team at JobJack, notwithstanding their age, you know, but how they come across, you can clearly see that they've got some really, really smart people advising them. They've got smart people advising them on fundraising. They've got smart people advising them on corporate governance. They've got smart people advising them on actually business development and how do you talk to corporates. They've got people with access to these different Rolodexes that they're able to tap into. I think that's super, super critical as you start your own venture. It is something that we do in our own organization. I've got my own advisors that I've got access to that are able to say, hey, listen, Vuyo, don't touch that thing. It's going to be problematic. Or actually, you must talk to this one and you must look at this, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera.
Well, I love hearing that you are as interested in the business owner as you are in the business. Because after all, you know, in founder-led entrepreneurial businesses, the presence and passion and commitment of that individual, those individuals, is as critical as any factor, and one would argue more critical than any other factor to the success of that thing. And I think, yeah, your connection, the good old-fashioned chemistry that you have with those people is going to be a big part of its success, certainly as you partner into the future. Vuyo, you mentioned right at the beginning of our conversation that your previous life, or previous chapter at Old Mutual, if you like, before moving to Next 176, was in the capacity of Chief Technology and Data Officer, Chief Digital and Data Officer. I'm quite curious to hear about how your experiences in that role and the lens you kind of wear as a technologist and somebody really interested in the practical application of digital innovation in our world around us, how that impacts your decisions as the MD of Next 176. How are you bringing that lens and that perspective into your role in this startup within the corporate giant of Old Mutual? I'm curious to hear about how that's changed maybe or modified or informed your approach as a leader.
I did a similar role at Standard Bank when it was still self-service banking for 9 to 10 odd years. And I think one of the things, two things, I think broadly speaking, outside of just Old Mutual, the first one is that it's hard to try to do that change in a big corporate. Super valuable when you get it right, but it's difficult.
Sure.
So I played that role as kind of a player for the better part of just over a decade. You know, I've been involved in trying to build many other digital businesses inside the two corporates where I led digital transformations in. So I think that's one. And the Next 176, in a way, is kind of graduating from being a player to being a coach. So I don't have to do it myself, but I can work with people who are actually at the edge and are doing it. And hopefully, you know, the experiences I have trying to do it inside a big organization and working with people who are doing it outside, you know, there's opportunities there. So I think that's the first one that's super, super important. I don't think that I could be able to do half of what I'm doing today if I hadn't gone and done that before.
Sure.
But I think bringing it back into Old Mutual, I think it's just difficult to understand organizational context, build enough equity for you to be able to kind of, a big part of what I do today is I spend time with all the MDs in the different businesses. I spend time with the people in their teams who report to them, who report to the people who report to them, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. I can do that because I've got some equity. I've been in the organization for 4 years. Led their digital and data teams for their first 4 years. In fact, I built most of those teams and most of those capabilities, you know, not only in South Africa, right across the continent, you know, in Kenya, in Zimbabwe, in markets like Ghana, etc. So I've got a little bit of equity, which is an unfair advantage that I think, you know, however great a Mike is, you know, if Mike were to be plunked into exactly the same role, you don't have that network, you don't have that equity, you don't have those relationships. And actually, coincidentally, many of the different digital and data platforms that the group uses today, you know, I have been responsible for introducing into the organization. So when there's deep technical ideas around how do you do this level of integration, I might have a word or two to add. Because I kind of built most of it.
You've earned those stripes and then some, yeah.
Exactly. So I think that the transition, looking backwards, you know, the transition from kind of as a techie way before I got into Standard Bank, kind of trying to build digital businesses with some successes, you know, at Standard Bank with the teams at Beyond Payments, then and some failures, the successes and some failures at Old Mutual, bringing the teams that built the Omari platform, which is the fastest growing wallet business in Southern Africa, you know, and being part of that kind of helps with the transition to being able to help with work with startups, trying to work with an Old Mutual.
Vuyo and Paco, it's been such a pleasure chatting to you. I'm fairly confident that you and I could go on for hours like this, and maybe we should do that over a coffee or a glass of wine at some stage. But you've been so generous with your time and the information around the projects that you're involved in. I'm particularly excited, you know, as I said, I'm slightly biased here because I care deeply about some of the businesses and founders that you're connected to. But wow, I'm so excited to see the work you're doing. It's so encouraging to hear about how invested Old Mutual is in deeply impactful, deeply sustainable startups that are not just creating jobs, but propping up our economy in many ways. And that is the future that I think we all aspire to and dream of. So congratulations. I wish you the very best over the next 3 years. And I'm looking forward to connecting in person soon.
Mark, thank you very much. And thanks for having me.
You've been listening to another production from Solid Gold Podcasts.